When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dead America. Tales from the Front Lines. The Motel. By Derek Slayton. Day 0 plus 1. Emporia, Kansas. 7:37 a.m. The transport rumbled along the road, its metal frame groaning with each bump in the terrain. The soldiers inside struggled to stay awake, their fatigue evident as they jostled around in the back of the truck. As the sun began to peek over the horizon, its soft rays cast fleeting shadows across the pavement. Private Wolf felt a sudden rush of cool air as the canvas flap covering the back door was flung open. Sitting across from him was his longtime friend, Private Malone. They had been inseparable since their days in basic, and being stationed at Fort Riley, which was just a short distance away from their current destination. The grueling training they had endured hadn't prepared them for the nightmare they were now thrust into. Glancing at his watch, Private Wolf couldn't help but shake his head when he realized he had been awake for the past 29 hours. Long days were nothing new for a soldier, but he knew it would be a while before his head would find a pillow. His body was already drained from the previous day's conflict. Though he had only fired his weapon a few times, it had been amidst a line of soldiers defending against a swarm of zombies rushing the gate. Private Wolf struggled to wrap his mind around the surreal reality of fighting zombies. He finally let out a chuckle to alleviate the tension that had gripped his mind. "What's so funny?" Private Malone asked. Wolf chuckled again. "All of this. One day we're training for deployment in the sandbox, and the next, we're in a horror movie." Private Malone tried to find some humor in their predicament. "Hey, look at the bright side. At least we don't have to worry about heat stroke in the middle of Kansas." Wolf responded with a wry smile. "Yeah, we just have to worry about being eaten alive by undead cannibals." Malone conceded, "Well, I didn't say it was a particularly bright spot, but it's something, at least." As the transport came to a halt, there was a sudden commotion outside, with voices yelling for them to get out. Wolf reached over and released the back flap, hopping down from the truck. Malone followed suit, and they found themselves outside a high school football stadium. The parking lot was filled with dozens of transport trucks, and hundreds of soldiers were disembarking. A soldier with a bullhorn was barking out instructions. "If you just arrived, move to the front gate of the stadium for your orders. Let's move, soldiers. There's a lot of work to be done today." Wolf and Malone made their way toward the front gate, where several tables were set up with lines of soldiers waiting to receive their orders. Malone asked, "Which line do you want to get in?" Wolf replied, "The far one is fine with me. I'm in no hurry to get out there." Malone nodded in agreement. They joined the line, and soon others fell in behind them. The line moved swiftly, with soldiers receiving their orders and heading to the parking lot, where a few civilian vehicles were waiting. They watched as soldiers drove off, only to be replaced by another vehicle moments later. Both men flinched as gunshots erupted at the edge of the lot. They turned to see a group of soldiers firing their weapons at a handful of zombies charging towards them. Bullets found their targets, causing heads to explode and bodies to crumple to the ground. The announcing soldier returned with a grim warning. "We're fine, everybody. But get used to that, because the enemy is everywhere." Wolf and Malone exchanged concerned glances, realizing that this was their new reality. Slowly but surely, they continued to advance in line, getting closer to the front. Wolf quipped, "Christ, it feels like I'm waiting in line to get my high school schedule." Malone joined in the humor. First period, headshots. Second period, proper body disposal techniques. Wolf chuckled, and they both felt a release of tension through their humor. Behind them, two other soldiers, Private McKenzie and Private Olson, didn't seem particularly impressed. Private McKenzie spoke up, his tone serious. "We had to put down 163 of our brothers and sisters last night, and you two assholes are out here laughing like you're down at the Chuckle Hut." Wolf and Malone turned to face the two privates, not wanting to offend but still unapologetic. Malone explained, "Look, man, we've been up for damn near 30 hours and are about to be sent into a situation we are woefully unprepared for. This is just how we deal with the stress of all that." Wolf added, "Yeah, there's no offense intended." McKenzie stared them down for a moment before shaking his head, dismissing their behavior. "Yeah, I get it, but just be mindful of others around you. Everybody doesn't process stress with jokes, and some are a lot more physical about their displeasure." Wolf and Malone nodded in understanding. Malone extended his hand. "Appreciate the insight. I'm Malone, and this is Wolf." McKenzie introduced himself. "I'm McKenzie, and this is Olson." Private Olson greeted them. "Morning, guys." The four soldiers exchanged pleasantries as they approached the front of the line. There, they saw four tables set up, along with a display board featuring a giant city map marked with a large red area in the downtown district, surrounded by smaller green circles designating safe staging areas. As they observed the map, a soldier approached two men standing nearby. One was a captain, and the other was dressed impeccably despite the early hour. He exuded an air of authority. Wolf couldn't help but comment to Olson, "That must be the mayor." Olson raised an eyebrow, asking, "How do you figure?" Wolf replied with a wry grin, "It's 7:30 in the morning during the apocalypse, and he's dressed like he's one kickback away from bulldozing an orphanage." Olson and McKenzie couldn't help but chuckle at Wolf's earlier remark, though they quickly composed themselves, considering their earlier chastisement. As they continued to watch, the captain received a piece of paper and drew a green line from one of the safe zones to a street on the edge of the red downtown area. McKenzie wondered aloud, "What are they doing?" Wolf contemplated, "Looks like they're securing the downtown area. At least that would be my guess." Malone added insight, "This all started overnight, so it makes sense that the bar areas would be the hardest hit." Their conversation continued as they progressed through the line, finally reaching the front. At the table, a couple of soldiers were sifting through stacks of papers, which contained handwritten orders with addresses and objectives. A town map marked up similarly to the large one lay nearby. The soldier in front of them looked up and announced, "Okay, next four. Here are your orders." Wolf barely glanced up as he grabbed the piece of paper handed to him. "You have your orders, now get to the motor pool." The four men moved out of line and huddled a few yards away from the table. "What's it say?" Malone asked impatiently. Wolf examined the paper before speaking. "Our target is 4032 Evergreen, a mid-rise motel. We're to rescue survivors and bring them to a rally point a few blocks away. We also need to eliminate any hostiles or confine them to the rooms." Olson expressed concern. "Four soldiers to clear a mid-rise motel. Are they crazy?" Malone rationalized. "It's a small town way outside of civilization. Emporia is a lot of things, but a tourist destination isn't one of them." McKenzie interjected with a different perspective. "Of course, it's not a tourist destination. But did none of you notice the traffic cones while we were coming into town?" Confused, the others shook their heads. Wolf questioned, "Why would we care about road construction? not like we have to worry about getting a ticket for speeding through it. McKenzie explained his point. No, we don't. But we do need to worry about the construction crew. Those guys are out here for months at a time, and they usually stay at cheap mid-rise motels like this. I can't imagine that Emporia has too many of those. The realization dawned on the other soldiers, and Wolf decided to take action. I got this. He returned to the table, standing there as the soldier continued to distribute orders. When the soldier ignored him, Wolf spoke up. Yo, man, we are not equipped for this mission. The soldier finally paid attention, looking straight at Wolf. You have your orders, now execute them. Next. Wolf persisted, you don't get it. You're sending four of us into a packed motel. We need more men for this. The soldier halted his task, maintaining eye contact with Wolf. Every group we send out is at lower strength than we'd like, but if we don't secure the town, the military brass won't have a command center. If you get overwhelmed, you call up command, and we'll send you more men. I'm not allocating more resources to a hypothetical problem. You get me, Private? Wolf gave a subtle nod, accepting the orders. Good. Now get moving, because once you finish that mission, I'll have another one ready to go. Wolf returned to his group, looking somewhat sheepish. Malone inquired, so what did he say? In a nutshell, to suck it up because everybody is having a bad day. If we need help, just call it in. Wolf replied. Olson voiced his concern, not exactly comforting. No, it's not, but it is what it is, Wolf replied. The four soldiers headed towards the motor pool, eyeing a few larger vehicles. But they were quickly claimed by other soldiers. When they reached the pool, only a mid-sized sedan remained. A soldier approached them, pointing to the car. Keys are in it, and it even has the heater going for you boys. Olson inquired about something larger, but the soldier explained, locals aren't too keen on giving up their trucks, and I'll be damned if I'm getting shot for an overpriced toy. Fair enough, McKenzie replied. The group climbed into the car, with Wolf taking the driver's seat. It took them a moment to get situated, but they managed to do so. Wolf asked, everybody ready? Malone replied, as ready as we're ever going to be. Wolf started the car and they drove off the lot, following the rough directions Malone had on the paper. Silence gripped the car as the group began to focus. Their mission had begun.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chapter 2. Private Wolf expertly navigated the quartet along the outer edge of town, avoiding blocked routes that had been cordoned off by other military units setting up operations. The sound of gunfire echoed through the neighborhoods as they drove, a stark reminder of the chaos that had consumed the area. Most of the shots were controlled and minimal, but every now and then, bursts of intense gunfire pierced the air, suggesting an exchange of fire. Private Olson's voice broke the tension in the vehicle. Are those things shooting back at us? Because those guns don't all sound like ours. Private McKenzie, sitting nearby, offered a grim explanation. This area of the country isn't exactly known for their trust in government. Creatures running rampant, and all of a sudden the military is taking over their town. We're trying to help, though, Olson replied. McKenzie nodded. Well, we know that, but some of them, however, don't see it that way. McKenzie gestured towards an apartment block they passed, where a dozen soldiers were conducting medical tests on civilians. A woman was separated from the group, and tensions flared among the others, forcing the soldiers to restrain them. Private Malone voiced his confusion. What the hell are they doing? Not sure, but I heard some rumors that whatever is causing people to turn into those things is a virus that attacks blood types, McKenzie replied. Blood types? What kind? Private Wolf inquired. I don't know. I just know they came into our barracks yesterday and pulled some people out. Sent them to the sick bay. No real rhyme or reason to it until I heard that rumor, McKenzie explained. Why wouldn't they tell us? Malone wondered. Non-mission critical information. Even if we did know, it's not like we're going to be blood testing people at the motel. Plus, if they just pull people, they don't risk someone running, Wolf said. Malone conceded, I guess. But damn, that has to suck. Go through all this training. Get into peak physical condition. Only to be taken out by the flu. That's gotta be a bitch, Olson chimed in. Wolf injected a dark dose of reality. Could be worse, though. Malone questioned, how? At least they don't have to worry about being eaten alive, Wolf replied. The conversation fell into an uneasy silence as Wolf continued driving, the group doing their best to ignore the unfolding humanitarian crisis outside. Finally, the motel appeared in the distance, a three-story structure with all the rooms located inside. The parking lot was filled with several cars and 24 work trucks. Malone muttered in frustration, "Damn it. Looks like a full house." Wolf slowed down before reaching the driveway, his voice determined. I'm going to park this thing close. As soon as we get inside, I want Olson to get the front door locked. Just stay ready, because we may need to get out really quickly if things go south. Olson confirmed his readiness. I'll have one hand on the lock and the other on the trigger. Good man, Wolf praised. The car was parked swiftly, and as soon as the engine cut off, they heard the ominous sound of approaching footsteps. Olson opened the door and was barely on his feet when a creature emerged from behind a nearby row of cars. He couldn't raise his weapon in time, so he braced for impact. The ghoul lunged at Olson, who desperately tried to grab it by the neck. But just before his hand made contact, the creature swiftly leaned down, capturing two of Olson's fingers in its mouth and snapping them shut. Olson's agonized scream filled the air as the creature bit through flesh and bone, shaking its head violently. Get it off! Get it off! Olson pleaded in horror. Wolf acted swiftly, rushing to Olson's aid and grabbing the ghoul by the back of its shirt collar. He pulled with all his strength, managing to wrench the creature's head back, but it didn't release its grip. Olson's two fingers were degloved, and the creature continued to chew on them. Wolf threw the creature to the ground and placed his boot on its chest. He aimed his rifle and dispatched the ghoul with a well-placed round to the head. A stunned silence hung in the air as Olson cried out in pain. McKenzie rushed to assist his injured comrade while Malone simply stared at the gruesome scene. But there was no time to dwell on the horror they had just witnessed, as more footsteps approached from the parking lot. Another zombie emerged, and Wolf reacted swiftly, firing several rounds that tore through its face and skull, dropping it to the ground. Get inside, Wolf ordered urgently. The quartet retreated quickly through the opening sliding glass doors, manually slamming them shut and flipping the lock just as the pursuing creatures reached them. There was a sickening thud as the zombies collided with the door, spraying blood onto the glass. The four of them stood there, catching their breath and trying to comprehend the peril they were in. Wolf broke the tense silence. "Come on, let's secure this place. Olsen, you good?" Olsen managed a weak nod, holding up his bloodied fingers. "I'll keep watch here. Just grab me a towel when you get a chance." Wolf nodded, and the other three soldiers turned around, their guns raised. The lobby, small and seemingly untouched, held a few construction workers enjoying their breakfast of powdered eggs and frozen biscuits. As they assessed the situation, a terrified young woman named Katie, who'd been behind the front desk, spoke up. "Welcome to the Emporia Inn. My name is Katie. Can I help you?" Wolf turned on a bit of charm to keep her calm, walking over to her, after signaling for the others to sweep the first floor. "Good morning. Sorry for intruding, but we're going to need your help," Private Wolf said. Katie, still visibly shaken, inquired, "Okay, but I heard gunfire. Is everyone okay?" "For the most part, yes," Private Wolf replied. "But if you happen to have a clean towel and a med kit back there, that would be fantastic." Katie nodded and quickly fetched both requested items from the back room. "Sorry, it's not that great of quality. The owner is a bit of a cheapskate." Wolf accepted the supplies, saying, "This will be fine. Thank you." Katie then asked, "What else can I do for you?" Pausing at the end, searching for his name. "I'm Private Wolf." "Okay, Private Wolf, what else can I do for you?" Katie inquired again. "Can you please start calling all of the occupied rooms to get a head count? Tell them that there's a situation outside and that we need them to stay in their rooms for a little while," Private Wolf requested. Katie hesitated. "I can, but..." "What's wrong?" Private Wolf asked. "Well, a lot of the guys speak Spanish, and..." Katie trailed off, almost embarrassed. "And you don't," Private Wolf finished her thought. "Yeah, tried taking it in high school, but the only thing I can really say now are that my jeans are blue and that I really want a burrito," Katie admitted. "Hey now, never underestimate the usefulness of getting a burrito," Private Wolf remarked, trying to lighten the mood. Katie cracked a smile, a relief to Wolf, because he was going to need her help today. "That is a great way of looking at it. It's the best way. And don't worry about not speaking Spanish. My friend does, and he'll be happy to help you out when he comes back," Private Wolf assured her. Just then, both Malone and Mackenzie returned from the hallways. "Well, speak of the devil," Private Mackenzie reported. "Exterior doors are secured. If you need them locked to the outside people too, I can turn off the keycard reader," Katie offered. "If you wouldn't mind," Wolf responded. Katie nodded and typed on the computer for a few moments. "Okay, they're locked. The only way to get through them is if somebody on the inside opens it up," Katie said. "Thank you," Private Wolf said as he handed the supplies over to Mackenzie, saying, "This is for Olsen." Mackenzie nodded and went to tend to his injured friend, Olsen, who was in a lot of pain. Olsen cracked a smile, trying to remain positive but clearly fearful of the situation. Private Malone asked, "So what's next?" Private Wolf turned to Malone. "Your Spanish is still pretty good, right?" Malone shrugged. "I mean, I'm not going to be winning any essay contests." "That's not happening in English either," Private Wolf teased. "But yeah, my Spanish is passable," Malone confirmed. "Okay. Ask those guys to head back up to their rooms. Then help this lovely young lady make some calls to the rooms. Just need everyone to stay put until we can get an evacuation plan," Private Wolf instructed. "On it," Malone said as he headed off to carry out his task. Private Wolf walked over to the front door area, where Mackenzie was tending to Olsen's hand. Wolf peered out of the glass at the three creatures trying to break through, noticing something peculiar as they thrash against the glass. "I hate to ruin the morning even further, but look at this one," Wolf said. "What about them?" Mackenzie asked. Look at his neck. Bite marks, Private Wolf pointed out. Mackenzie was puzzled. So what? Look at the other two. Not a mark on them, Private Wolf explained. Mackenzie questioned, What the fuck are you implying, Wolf? Not implying anything. Just pointing out something that might be a useful bit of information, Private Wolf clarified. Useful to who, exactly? Mackenzie pressed. Us, Mackenzie. The higher-ups weren't exactly forthcoming with information. Now, were they? Outside of shooting them in the head, they haven't told a squat, Private Wolf reasoned. Mackenzie finally understood. So if bites do turn people into one of those things, then what do you want to do about it? Just think we need to keep an eye on them, that's all, Private Wolf replied. Even Olson, who had been listening, chimed in. Wolf's right. We don't know what those bites can do. At the bare minimum, I'm going to need a tetanus shot. Mackenzie looked at Olson with concern. But Olson tried to maintain a positive demeanor. Don't worry. If I feel woozy or get an overwhelming desire for a human hamburger, I'll let you know. Wolf nodded, and the two soldiers walked back to the front desk, where both Malone and Katie were making phone calls to the occupied rooms. Malone reported, Anything? No answer, Katie said. What's up? Private Wolf inquired. We got two rooms on the third floor that aren't answering, Malone replied. They could have already left for the day, Private Wolf suggested. Malone shook his head, talked to the foreman, who was in one of the suites, and he said that none of his guys have left for the site yet, and that the entire top two floors were all his guys. What rooms? Wolf asked. 328 and 313. Katie, can you make us some keys for those rooms? Wolf inquired. The clerk nodded and got to work. A few moments later, she handed two keys over. Which is which? They're both makeshift master keys. We're not supposed to have a master key. But I just told our system that every room needs to be cleaned, and it makes keys to access those rooms. Katie replied with a smile. De facto master key. I like it. Good job, Private Wolf replied. Just be sure to tell my boss that. I could use a raise, Katie joked. Wolf smiled and nodded as he and Mackenzie headed towards the stairs. Mackenzie whispered, Why didn't you tell her that she's not going to need a raise with the way things are going? She only has a few more minutes of innocence left in her life. I'll be damned if I'm the one who is going to take it from her, Private Wolf replied with a heavy heart. The two of them reached the stairwell, pausing before going in, taking a beat before rushing into potential danger.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Chapter 3. Wolf and Mackenzie hurriedly entered the stairwell, their firearms held at the ready, a palpable tension in the air as they ventured into the unknown. The ground-level stairwell greeted them with an empty silence, but the echoing footsteps from above hinted at the presence of something or someone. With cautious precision, they gently closed the door behind them and began their ascent, their fingers firmly gripping their guns. As they rounded the landing to the second floor, an unexpected scent wafted towards them, a scent not of tobacco. A hint of amusement danced across their faces as they exchanged a knowing look before proceeding. On the next landing, two men stood, passing something between them. Their faces contorted with surprise as they found themselves staring down the barrels of the soldiers' rifles. "Morning, fellas," Private Wolf greeted, his voice steady. The two men raised their trembling hands in surrender. The man stuttered. "Oh, hell, man. Don't shoot. We're just trying to relax before we have to go to work. We ain't trying to hurt anybody." Wolf advanced up the landing, ignoring the men as he scanned the third floor landing, finding it deserted. With a wry smile, he took the offered smoke and drew in a long drag before passing it back to the man. "That's some quality stuff," he remarked. "Now go enjoy it back in your room. But if the motel gives me another fine, I'm going to get fired," the man protested. "Trust me, buddy," Private McKenzie chimed in. "The days of fines and working to pay bills are over." The man looked bewildered, trying to grasp their meaning. "Just go enjoy yourself and don't come out of your room until you're told to," Wolf instructed, and the man hastily retreated to his second floor room. The two soldiers resumed their ascent to the third floor. "Did you really just take a hit off that?" McKenzie asked with a chuckle. Wolf shrugged. "What are they going to do? Court-martial me?" McKenzie laughed, but their expressions grew serious as they reached the third floor door. Wolf nodded, and McKenzie flung the door open. They burst into the hallway, guns aimed in both directions, but there was no sign of movement. "What room do you want to hit first?" Private Wolf asked. "Let's start with 328 and work our way back," Private McKenzie suggested. With determined strides, they moved down the hallway, the sounds of televisions and conversations in Spanish emanating from the rooms. The hallway was a mosaic of life behind closed doors. Reaching room 328, McKenzie prepared to knock, but Wolf stopped him, already pulling out the keycard. He slid the keycard into the lock, and the electronic mechanism unlatched the door. That simple action triggered a visceral reaction from whatever was inside. Wolf had the door only halfway open when he spotted the creature charging towards him. "Oh, shit!" he exclaimed, pulling the door shut just in time. The creature's arm thrashed through the opening, desperately reaching for the soldier. Wolf clung to the door handle, the wooden door cutting into the zombie's flesh as he struggled to keep the creature at bay. It was a tense standoff. "What do we do?" McKenzie asked, panic in his voice. "On three, we shove this thing back as hard as we can, then slam the door shut." "Got it," Wolf replied. McKenzie nodded, and Wolf initiated the count. 1, 2, 3. With synchronized force, they lunged forward, pushing the door back into the face of the zombie, knocking it several steps backward. As it regained its composure, Wolf grabbed the door handle and slammed the door shut. They both stood there for a moment, catching their breath, exchanging disbelieving looks. "So we knock next time, huh?" McKenzie quipped. Wolf chuckled. "Yeah, that's a good call, McKenzie. You knock to your heart's content." Wolf retrieved his radio, his voice filled with frustration as he spoke into it. "Malone, you copy?" "Hang on," came Malone's voice, followed by a brief conversation in Spanish. "Sorry," was on the other line, Malone said upon returning. "Rest of the third floor is accounted for. We have a couple of no-shows on the second floor." Wolf's voice was resolute. "Need you to call room 328. Malone inquired, "Why?" "Because I opened the door and the thing damn near took my head off," Wolf replied. "So I'd like a distraction so I can get a clean shot." "Are you good?" Malone asked, sensing the urgency in Wolf's voice. I will be good once you call, and I put this thing down, Wolf replied, his patience wearing thin. Malone didn't question further, understanding the gravity of the situation. Dialing now, he confirmed. They stood outside room 313, tension gripping them as they listened to the ringing phone inside. The phone's ring was soon joined by moans and frantic shuffling from within. Wolf readied the keycard, his fingers poised to unlock the door. As Wolf quietly entered the room, he raised his gun, moving with calculated precision. His eyes landed on the creature thrashing around the desk, drawn by the noise, completely oblivious to his presence. He squeezed the trigger, and a single shot pierced the back of the zombie's head, sending it collapsing onto the desk. Come on, let's clear the other room, Wolf directed. And they proceeded down the hallway. As they walked, some of the doors opened, revealing several construction workers inside. Their voices were incomprehensible to the soldiers, but Wolf attempted to calm them and gestured back into their rooms. However, it became evident that words alone wouldn't suffice. Mackenzie adopted a more assertive approach, leveling his rifle at some of the men and letting out a primal scream. It worked like a charm, and all the doors slammed shut. Wolf raised an eyebrow at Mackenzie, who simply shrugged. Wolf shook his head as they continued toward room 313. Once they reached the door, they positioned themselves on either side, ready to breach. Wolf pulled out his radio. Okay, Malone, we're at 313. Dial it up. Malone acknowledged and initiated the call. The soldiers stood there, fingers on the triggers, Wolf holding the keycard, ready to open the door. 10 seconds ticked by until the silence was shattered by the ringing phone inside the room. Footsteps and excited moans emerged from the bathroom, and the bathroom door slammed against the wall as the creature rushed into the main room, desperate to reach the ringing phone. As it passed the doorway, Wolf activated the keycard. The door unlatched, and Mackenzie swiftly entered the room. Just as he crossed the threshold, the door behind Wolf swung open. Turning, Wolf saw a construction worker charging toward him, yelling something unintelligible. It sounded like a name, as if he were trying to warn someone inside the room. The man collided forcefully with Wolf, who fired his weapon into the ground in a desperate attempt to dislodge him. The gunshot startled Mackenzie, who briefly glanced back, providing just enough time for the pursuing creature to reach him. The impact was brutal, slamming Mackenzie into the TV and against the wall. As he grappled with the creature, he used his free hand to grab the back of its shirt, preventing it from reaching his neck. Mackenzie could hear the fabric of the shirt tearing. He fired his rifle repeatedly into the creature's leg, as high as he could manage, hoping it would give him an advantage. Meanwhile, in the hallway, Wolf was locked in a scuffle with the shouting man. Wolf's attempts to punch back were futile, as the man deflected his blows and delivered a punch to Wolf's side. Wolf glanced down the corridor and noticed multiple doors opening, with more construction workers emerging, their expressions far from friendly. He knew what needed to be done, even if he didn't want to take an innocent life. But in this situation, one of them wouldn't make it through the morning, and Wolf didn't want to be on the wrong side of that equation. Ducking down, he drove his shoulder into the man's stomach, forcing him back against the wall before quickly retreating. Wolf raised his rifle slightly, aiming down at the man's leg, and fired. The bullet tore through the man's shin, sending him crashing to the ground in pain. Private Wolf trained his weapon on the others who were still advancing with knives, pointing them menacingly. He continued to backpedal, reaching a few doors down, glancing behind him to make sure he didn't have company. He then aimed at the wall and fired a single round, hoping it would deter the approaching mob. But it had no effect. "Damn it," Wolf muttered, his voice laced with frustration. Desperation in his tone, Wolf shouted, "Mackenzie!" A few agonizing, silent moments passed before the lead construction worker stepped in front of the open door. Wolf hoped that his partner would eliminate the threat, and regrettably, His wish was granted. The man barely had time to turn before a zombified Mackenzie burst out of the room, tackling the man. Both of them slammed into the wall and onto the wounded attacker. Mackenzie sank his teeth into the man's arm, tearing out a chunk of flesh before descending upon the injured man on the ground beneath them. In the hallway, other construction workers closed in, and one of them stabbed Mackenzie in the back. The attack seemed only to infuriate him further. Mackenzie stood up, rushed the man, and bit into his side, ripping out a piece of flesh. Wolf desperately tried to take a shot, but the presence of innocent civilians in the vicinity prevented him from doing so. Moments later, a limping, fast-moving zombie emerged from the room, a piece of Mackenzie's flesh still in its mouth. The creature turned toward Wolf, who swiftly raised his weapon and put a bullet through its head, dropping it. Wolf stared at the blood-soaked carnage before him, snapping back to reality just long enough to grab his radio. "Malone, we have an outbreak," he exclaimed, the urgency in his voice unmistakable. Chapter 4. Private Wolf found himself in the midst of chaos and horror as he opened fire, his shots ringing out in a panicked frenzy amidst the approaching zombies, and soon to be zombies. He tried desperately to adjust his aim to avoid hitting innocent bystanders, but this only led to his shots missing their mark. Amidst the chaos, he observed several people fleeing back to their rooms, a couple of them struggling to close their doors as the zombified Mackenzie lurked, attempting to gain entry. With a steady hand, Wolf took careful aim and squeezed the trigger, sending a round through the side of Mackenzie's head. The impact dropped him to the ground, allowing the others to slam the door shut. In the aftermath, Wolf took a moment to reflect, a profound sense of regret washing over him for having to shoot a man he had fought alongside just moments before. However, his self-pity was cut short as the bitten corpses on the ground began to reanimate, and one of them immediately latched onto a man who had tried to aid his fallen comrade. Two ghoulish figures suddenly spotted Wolf and charged toward him. With no trust in his aim, Wolf knew his only option was to retreat. He swiftly turned and sprinted down the hallway, making a dash for the distant stairwell. He reached it just moments before the pursuing creatures closed in. The private burst through the stairwell door, his hand gripping the handle as he tried to slam it shut behind him. However, the relentless ghouls reached the door before he could secure it. Wolf struggled to push it closed, but he lost ground to the undead assailants. He knew he had to break free and make a run for it. But he was aware that as soon as he let go, those things would be upon him. "Here goes nothing," Wolf muttered under his breath. With one final shove, he tried to get the door as closed as possible before flinging it wide open. The creatures on the other side tumbled flat on their faces, caught off guard by the sudden lack of a door to support them. Wolf raised his rifle and fired in a panicked frenzy, round after round, tearing through the ghouls' heads. He didn't stop until the metallic click of an empty magazine echoed throughout the stairwell. Gasping for breath, he tried to collect himself, dropping the empty magazine and slamming in another. Desperate to secure the door, Wolf attempted to shove the bodies out of the way, but as he debated whether to continue the struggle, he heard moans and the sound of footsteps approaching from the hallway just outside the door. "Damn it," he muttered, abandoning the door and rushing down the stairwell as the zombies reached the door above. As he reached the second floor landing, the door flew open, nearly hitting him in the face. Instinctively, he began to raise his weapon, but he stopped when he realized it was just a frightened construction worker emerging from the doorway. Wolf tried to grab the man, but the worker smacked his hand away, clearly terrified and covered in blood. Wolf motioned for the man to follow, but before he could comply, he was tackled from behind by the pursuing creatures. Without hesitation, Wolf continued his descent down the stairs, helpless as he listened to the workers' cries. Upon reaching the bottom door, Wolf pushed against it, only to find it barely budging. Frustration welled up as he shoved again, realizing that a heavy bookcase had been placed in front of it. "What the hell?" he muttered to himself, With urgency, he grabbed the radio and spoke into it. East stairwell. East stairwell. Wolf released the radio button and put all his strength into shoving the door open. It inched open slowly, hindered by the bookcase's weight on the carpet. His adrenaline surged as he heard the zombies above feasting on the hapless worker, their moans growing louder. More moaning came from the second floor, accompanied by rushed footsteps approaching the landing. Wolf turned his back to the door, planted his feet firmly on the concrete, and pushed, his weapon aimed toward the stairs, ready for the impending company. He didn't have to wait long before one creature, unable to partake in the worker's meal, spotted him and descended the stairs with an excited moan. Wolf opened fire, sending several rounds into the zombie's chest and neck, causing it to tumble down the stairs. The creature landed with a thud on the bottom floor, bones cracking. It struggled to get up, and Wolf swiftly delivered a kill shot to the back of its head. However, this only seemed to excite the other creatures on the landing. They abandoned their meal and rushed toward him. He fired as quickly as he could while pushing against the door, managing to hit one ghoul in the head, sending it sprawling and tripping up the rest. A grotesque mass of undead flesh tumbled down the stairwell, hitting the ground hard. Unlike the first one, most of these creatures were still very much alive and beginning to rise to their feet. The door was as wide open as it would get for Wolf. He turned and tossed his rifle through the opening before squeezing himself through headfirst. He reached the ground and used his legs to propel himself further through the narrow gap. As the zombies closed in on him, he managed to thrash his legs enough to prevent them from getting a hold of him. Finally, with a surge of effort, he pulled his limbs out from the doorway just in time, leaving the undead clawing at empty air. Moments later, Malone and Katie came running down the hallway. Malone lowered his shoulder and slammed the door, pushing it closed as Katie attempted to move the bookcase. Wolf shook off his terror and rushed to assist the clerk, finally securing the door. "I don't think that's going to hold very long," he warned. "How bad is it up there?"
"Bad. Real bad," Wolf replied.
"Where's Mackenzie?" Malone asked. Wolf replied somberly, faced off against one of those things, and it got the better of him, ripped his throat right out.
"Damn," Malone muttered.
Wolf continued, and then he got back up. Malone gave him a worried look, and Wolf nodded slightly.
"Yeah, I know. We gotta tell Olsen that he's going to become one of those things. But first things first, we gotta get the hell out of here."
As Private Wolf and Malone made their way back towards the front of the motel, Wolf adjusted the radio frequency. Meanwhile, Malone retrieved the paper with their mission details, and Wolf glanced at the mission name on top. "Base, do you copy?" Mission Echo 47, Private Wolf spoke into the radio. The dispatcher's voice crackled in response. "Base here."
"Go Echo 47.
Wolf continued, his tone urgent. "Motel is overrun. Repeat. Motel is overrun. Handful of civilians on the third floor trapped in rooms. No way of reaching them. Two soldiers down." The dispatcher's response was less immediate. "Stand by."
"Stand by," Wolf muttered to himself in frustration.
"I tell them we're overrun and down two men, and they tell me to stand by like I'm trying to order a fucking pizza." The dispatcher finally inquired, "Echo 47, are you able to secure the doors to the outside?" Wolf looked at Katie, the clerk, who nodded in response. "Couple of keystrokes, and those doors are hard locked until someone with a physical key unlocks them," Katie explained. Malone chimed in with a question, "Aren't the locking doors a bit of a fire hazard?" Katie shrugged. "Owner had a construction crew duck the bill a few years back, so he installed these doors to make sure it wouldn't happen again." Malone seemed to accept the explanation. "And you willingly work for him?" Katie replied with a hint of resignation. "He pays under the table. I get a free breakfast, and not sure if you are familiar with our fair town, but there aren't exactly a lot of options that don't involve construction or hot kitchens."
"Fair enough," Malone conceded.
Wolf returned to the radio conversation. Yes, we can secure the doors.
Okay. Echo 47. Your orders are to quarantine the building. Fall back to the command center at the high school for reassignment. Dispatch replied.
We're just leaving these people here to die, Wolf said, concern evident in his tone.
The dispatcher clarified. They are not the priority. But no soldier. We won't be leaving the people here to die. They will be in quarantine. We will be sending teams out to clear and secure the building.
When? Wolf inquired.
The dispatcher admitted, presently, there is no timetable.
Wolf pressed further. We have a civilian with us.
The dispatcher's response was matter of fact. You are to secure them on site.
And a building overrun with those things.
Are you crazy? Wolf challenged.
The dispatcher retorted, control yourself, soldier. A secure room in that building is the safest place for them at the moment. The civilian rescue zone we have set up.
The dispatcher paused, struggling to find the right words.
The civilian rescue zone we have set up is problematic.
Copy that, dispatch. We'll be back soon, Wolf replied reluctantly.
Be safe. Echo 47, the dispatcher concluded.
Wolf then turned to Katie. Is there a safe spot in here for you?
Katie assured him. The main office room.
No windows. Only one door in or out. And it's a metal security door. If I lock it, nobody is getting in unless I want them to.
Malone, help her get as much food and water in there as possible.
I'm going to go get Olson, Wolf said.
Malone nodded and went to help Katie. Wolf approached Olson, who was gazing at the window at the creatures pressed up against the glass.
How's it going up here, Olson? Wolf inquired.
Olson's response was grim, just biding my time until the inevitable.
Wolf didn't mince words.
I'm sorry, man. I really am. But those bites are fatal.
Olson's head drooped at the confirmation, and it took him a moment to regain his composure.
How do you know for sure? Olson asked.
Mackenzie, Wolf replied, and Olson's face fell at the news of his friend's death. It took him a moment to compose himself.
So, what are the orders? Olson finally asked.
Wolf explained. We're to evacuate, leaving the building here for another team to deal with.
Olson inquired further, and that cute front desk clerk?
Getting her set up in a safe room, Wolf assured.
Olson seemed relieved. Is it secure?
Very secure.
So I don't have to worry about my future alter ego getting inside, Olson replied.
Wolf insisted, you're coming with us, Olson.
But Olson was resolute.
No, Wolf, I'm not.
He held up his injured hand as evidence. This is a death sentence, so my fight is over. Besides, you still need my help.
Wolf was puzzled. How do you figure?
Olson pointed to the car just outside, on the other side of the zombies by the door.
I'm going to keep these fellas entertained while you and Malone get to the car, Olson explained.
Wolf nodded in agreement, finally extending his hand for a firm shake.
I'm sorry I didn't get the chance to know you, Olson. You seem like a good dude.
Olson chuckled. My ex-wife would violently disagree with you on that point. But the sentiment is appreciated.
Both Wolf and Olson shared a moment of camaraderie before noticing Malone by the front desk.
About that time. You give him hell out there, Olson encouraged.
You got it, Olson.
Wolf walked back to Malone, and the two of them made their way to the emergency exit, which was located in the room behind the front desk.
Malone inquired, how'd he take it?
Wolf replied, about as well as could be expected. He's going to keep those things distracted while we get to the car.
That's nice of him.
Oh, and don't worry. He won't be a threat to Katie. Not sure a hand grenade would get through that door, Malone reassured.
Wolf nodded in agreement. Benefits to working for a paranoid scumbag, I suppose.
The two soldiers found the exit door and checked it for any alarms. Finding it clear, they ventured outside,
keeping their guns ready and their senses sharp. As they approach their car, they move swiftly, cautiously, and silently. They reach the corner of the building, peering around to see the zombies pressed against the door. Their car was tantalizingly close, but the creatures just a few yards from it. Wolf stepped back, whispering to Malone, "We're going wide. Quick across this gap. Then slow until we're spotted. I'm driving. You get into the back." Malone acknowledged with a thumbs up, and they prepared to make their move. The two soldiers moved from cover, crossed the open space quickly, and reached the opposite side of the car, where they took cover behind some bushes. They waited for a moment to ensure none of the zombies had noticed them. Wolf nodded to Malone, and they resumed their approach, staying low and out of sight as they got closer to the car. As they neared the car doors, they suddenly heard footsteps approaching from behind. Without looking back, Wolf barked out a single word, "Run." The two soldiers sprinted towards the car, flung open the doors, and leaped inside. Wolf took the driver's seat and started the car, while Malone stumbled into the back seat. A zombie managed to reach the open door, but Malone held it in place.
"Go, go, go," Malone urged.
Wolf floored the gas pedal, and the car accelerated rapidly. The zombie clung to the door for a moment before falling, its head crushed under the back tire, causing the car to jump slightly. Malone slammed the door shut just in time, and Wolf drove them out of the parking lot.
"Are you all right?" Wolf asked, his voice filled with concern.
Malone responded, "Yeah, I'm good."
"Jesus Christ, let's never do that again," Wolf stated.
Malone wholeheartedly agreed. "I'll second that." The two soldiers drove back toward the base camp, moving at a slow pace, their exhaustion and the weight of the zombie apocalypse taking a toll on them. Despite it all, they continued on because it was the only option they had. The end.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.